behind him, you could just see like, oh, he had no idea what he was looking at. He was scared. Every throw was late. Nothing was comfortable. It was truly the worst playoff performance I've ever seen. This is worse than JT Barrett. It was even worse than Ty Simpson ended up being earlier or later in the day. Worse than Kevin Jennings. Worse than Duggan against Georgia. Browning against Bama. Kelly Bryant against Bama. It was the worst game. How about this? Do you know what the 79th ranked EPA per play from a quarterback is in the playoffs? Dante Moore. Dante Moore was actually bad, and it did not matter at all.
I was looking up Connor Cook. What was he against
Connor
Alabama?
So this was the one that George wanted to know. Connor Cook was actually not that bad because they kind of gave up. Let's see. Like McNamara was worse than Connor Cook. Desmond Ridder was worse.
Yeah, they didn't really get much going.
Connor Cook's somewhere in like the 50s, which I will still never understand.
That surprises me a little bit. I mean, they got absolutely obliterated.
All right, did you have a most college football moment of the quarterfinals? I got one for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
ESPN did not miss a moment. When Bama got down, those sad crowd shots of Bama were A-plus camera work. I mean, production, everyone, the producers, the director in the truck, that was a narcotic. Because Saban even laid it out perfectly when he was talking about on game days, like my golf buddies in Tuscaloosa can't fathom that, like, I keep telling them it's going to be a tough game. They're like, nah, they're a basketball school. We can't get over that. It's a basketball school. Well, they play basketball on grass.
I guess I'll say the U sideline of Jimmy Johnson being back. Obviously, Irving's going to be there, but Ray Lewis was there pretending like he was coaching.
Pretending.
Didn't Jason Taylor, like, hug him, like, with his headset on,
correct,
like, during the game?
Correct. And pretending like he was coaching. I thought he was. The only thing that actually bothered me, and this, I don't know how to feel about this. We had a Miami DB pick off a pass for a guaranteed pick six and never taunted the other team or the sideline. Not my U.
Dude, that was, I mean, I didn't know where to put that in the superlatives for the weekend. That might have been the best play of the weekend. Like, that
jumping
was
the route.
Oh my God. It was like it was like Ty Simpson was throwing the ball to him. He knew that play.
Julian Sane.
Oh, sorry, Julian Sane.
My boy Sane needs to learn to step up in the pocket. He took some bad sacks. All right, what we got right, what we got wrong. I think we both like kind of went Splitsville. I got Miami right. I got Ole Miss right. Could not have been more wrong on Tech and Bama.
I got
closing line value on Tech and Bama.
I got Georgia very wrong. I thought they were going to win. And, like, my doubt crept in about an hour before game time. The line hadn't budged. And I kind of got the sniff that everybody was on Georgia. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm doing what I always do. So I took these first half unders have just been cash machines throughout the postseason. 27-16 first half unders. So I had Miami first half under, which was very fortunate to get home. I had Oregon, Texas Tech first half.
It got home, like you say, it's fortunate. It also got home with a defensive score. I don't know if that's fortunate.
That's true.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of the.
You know where I was very wrong, too? So, I like you said, Splitsville, I did lay it with Indiana again in that in game. I'm like, they're going to kill them. Like,
and you were 100% right on that.
I laid 19.5 in game with Indiana.
And didn't even sweat it.
What I was wrong with was Max Clair. I thought the Ohio State tight end.
He did throw it to a tight end, just the other one.
The other guy. I'm like, who's the other guy? Come on, give it to Clair. They were like, Claire's doing a great job blocking tonight. I'm like, yeah, not when you have the player prop. So, yeah, it was an okay day. I will say, outside of the quarterfinals. It happened in your backyard. Folks, the number doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah.
Lay it with a service academy.
100%. When the weather was awful, it's like, oh, even better.
They are now 20-3.
I believe
ATS.
14 consecutive.
It is the cash of all. You could have got Navy like +6 early on. They won by 22. Army won by 25. When in doubt, service academy and bowl games, they always show up. And at some point, when I saw that weather, I'm like, oh, these Cincinnati guys. I actually thought Cincinnati kind of played hard.
No, they did. It's the they had a couple of turnovers they couldn't overcome. But it wasn't like they laid down.
No, they actually. I was like, wow, I'm surprised they're.
No, I was kind of like hoping. I was like, can they stop trying? Like,
it wasn't 7-7. And I'm like, what's going on here? And then the Goodfellas came through.
They were just giving us a chance to bet them live. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll do the list. I want to ask a philosophical question. Are the Warriors self-destructing before our eyes? What a real shame. Let's talk about that and more when we come back right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. We'll get back to the world of college football and the playoff semifinals when we take a look at the lines for Thursday and Friday. We'll do that during the next segment, but now let's get into the list. The Golden State Warriors. Tim, it breaks my heart to ask this question, but I think we just have to be... We have to be responsible and ask the pertinent questions. Are the Warriors just like completely imploding before our very eyes? So yeah. Kerr gets tossed again. This comes on the heels of Kerr and Draymond. What was that, 3 weeks ago now? The holiday always breaks it. They've had noticeable infighting. We've had the letter from the owner basically saying, I want Kerr to play Kuminga too. To a season ticket holder. There was the weird, this is the last year of Kerr's contract, but then they like kind of made peace. I don't know. Like I kind of wonder if we haven't really had the team that was the dynasty give us like the bitter end. Like, you know what? Like even with Shaq and Kobe, they break them up. And then with Kobe at the end, it was just like, all right, well, this is just the Kobe show. Like we, and then, you know, with the Bulls, it basically goes away when Jordan retires again. Like, I almost just wonder if we're being gifted the watching of this dismantling.
Quick aside to your question.
Snoop, your good friend Snoop.
My man Snoop. I gave him that encouragement after I got a radio liner from Bowl Season Radio, but my man Snoop predicting that was I thought Snoop did the bits I saw. I'm not going to pretend like I sat and watched the whole game last night.
I watched the clips from Awful Announcing.
I thought it was pretty good.
The reviews were good.
Yeah. I mean, for a regular season basketball game, if you're going to throw Snoop Dogg on a little analysis, I'm in, man. You don't need to overdo it.
No, this is the only problem, though, is as someone who enjoys Snoop Dogg content, I am a little fearful with the Olympics coming up, little overexposure. Because didn't you feel like in Paris it was a little too much?
Yeah.
Now, with that being said, I hope they bring it back because I've seen Kevin Hart and Kenan Thompson did a Peacock highlight show like once a week. It was legitimately hilarious. Must watch. Like, great, great comedy, awesome jokes. I thoroughly enjoyed it. They're trying to bring the show, I think, to Prime, but they're going to make it like a general show. I'm hoping that they bring it back for the Winter Olympics because I very much enjoyed it. I just wonder, we got a little, like, weirdly, Kevin Hart can be overexposed, but I never go too much. There are some moments where I'm like, okay, maybe it's because Snoop's kind of a one-trick pony on the, hey, he's high.
Yeah, I'm also bringing him to Milan and having him do kind of funny stuff could be entertaining, but yeah, I hear you on the...
Well, we did the Paris thing, and that was actually some of the content I enjoyed the least. The stuff I liked with Snoop was just like the authentic, like him just mixing it up. I don't like Snoop on the prepackaged stuff.
I agree. Yeah, I think that's fair.
By the way, did you happen to catch Marshawn on the Manning cast?
No.
He started and goes, all right, let's get first things first. They were like, all right, Marshawn, we got fined last time. Like, you know, we got to keep it clean. He's like, all right, let's get it out of the way. Drops a hard F-bomb, hard S-bomb, no dump button. He then winds up congratulating Archie for being the sire of such athletic phenoms. And then he proceeded to talk about, like, what did your mom do? And they were like, third and 10. What do you think here, Marshawn? Like, they could not get away from it fast enough. It was spectacular.
Oh, I did not see that. That's
they also had Jameis in the first half, and Jameis started off by singing happy birthday to Eli. That did not disappoint. He then gave a tutorial of how to eat the W. And then right before he left, he said one last thing. Eli gets every quarterback a table at wherever that prime rib place is in New York, but he's never gotten me one. Eh. Wanted to just go ahead and put that on the record. I'll get you. I'll get you. Go Giants. It was a good Manning cast. Good close to the season. It's always confusing when it's like, wait, it's on a Saturday?
Monday night? They're not doing this Monday?
I think that's a good point. Maybe they'll do this one. But that we did run into, so you and I last week, we were trying to predict the TV schedule.
Yeah, you were pretty spot on.
So I missed Saturday and Sunday night, but we also got this update. I believe this is from Austin Karp of Sports Business Journal. Essentially, they were looking into how it happened, and basically the NFL prioritized Prime over NBC and Fox.
Wow.
Now, maybe this is a special year for this reason. Fox is obviously going to have bigger games later on in the playoffs, mm-hmm. and NBC this year has the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl, yep.
So maybe they're doing the, all right, NBC, you're getting the Super Bowl. Congratulations. Prime's getting this. Because I thought for certain Bears, Packers would be Sunday Night Football, and instead they chose Pats, Chargers. But the story basically came out today. No, that choice was made for them because Bears, Packers would have been selected. Instead, the NFL prioritized Prime Video.
Is Al Michaels doing one more year?
I believe Al has told everybody to shove it.
All right. I was going to say, this isn't like his swan song?
No, I think Al might actually like die right there in the booth with some honor. You know, eating one more ribeye with not a single vegetable on the plate.
Shout out to Houston for getting out of the...
I did enjoy that they celebrated window. But we nailed that. We even deemed it Texans.
You were all over it because I forgot that...
The Panthers.
The 4 seed had to play...
The 4-5 has to... One of the 4-5 games has to be a Monday night game because they need to have the travel determined. And so if you have the 4-5, it's not going to change anything since they're playing each other.
Correct.
And so they always put the 4-5 game on Monday night.
Yeah, you nailed that. Carolina or the NFC South being in that early window made a ton of sense.
This was the other thing I was thinking about on Saturday as I was watching that Bucks-Carolina game. I'm okay with it because it's established. But do we really need to... revisit whether or not you can win the division with a sub 500 record, because that was one of those games where I was watching like, I don't want to see either of these teams play again.
I don't care that they're in the playoffs. We can't give them a home game. Like, can we go college football on this? Like, yeah, Boise State, you can get in, but yeah, you're not getting a bye anymore. Like, do we really need the Rams are on the road at Carolina, a team that is what, 12-5 and has maybe the MVP of the league, and I know they actually lost to Carolina, so that's
correct.
Kind of the hilarity of it all. But I don't know. I don't need to see Carolina at home, but we do this every so often, and then the team that has the below 500 record wins the game.
So there was a stat. It's like teams with a losing record and negative point differential. I think they're like 2-1 in this game?
Seattle's won it before. I remember that, like 10 or 15 years
Seattle
ago.
Seattle won it with the Beastquake.
And then didn't the Cam, the year before they went 15-1, didn't they win a playoff game?
That sounds correct.
Seven,
and then
eight,
I
one or
think
something?
The Bucks with Brady, I think Brady's last year when they won the division, I think they beat the Eagles.
They were under 500?
Yeah, they went 8-9.
Wow, I don't remember that. I remember they beat the Eagles because that was the Eagles team that was just a complete disaster. They smacked the Eagles, right?
Yes.
Like Monday Night Football, right?
Well, it was that was the question of would Sirianni get fired with a playoff team? Because remember, like, they lost like six straight to end the year.
Oh, it was a disaster. They completely fell apart.
Yeah, teams with a losing record. The 2010 Seahawks, who we mentioned, beat the Saints. The 2014 Panthers, they won a game. The Commies with Heineke in 7-9 in 2020. They did not beat the Bucs, but they covered. And then the 22 Bucs beat the Eagles. So that's 3-1. Also, the NFC South has three of the five teams that have won with a losing record.
Gotta love the NFC South.
Like, that's maybe the other question is, like, do they? I know the NFL struggles with the thing that they covet the most about college football is having actual rivalries. But it's like, can we maybe shake up the divisions again? Like, we've done this a lot.
Rank your excitement level for these playoff games this weekend.
All right. Do you want to go in order?
Yeah. Start with number one. Or do you want to go bottom up?
I thought you just want me to give a ranking 1 to 10. But
well,
you want me to
like,
power rank it?
Yeah, power rank them.
Okay. I think we have to say Packers,
that's
Chicago, one. And there's
great rivalry. They don't play often in the playoffs.
I think it's only the third time. And these are like two of the oldest franchises we have. Like, that was one of
the 40s and then in 2010.
Yeah, the Cutler year. Was it Cutler? Yeah, they've only played twice before. All right, I'm going with that number one. I'm going with Niners, Eagles, 2.
Damn it.
I am going Bills, Jacksonville, 3. How much more interesting is Pittsburgh with DK?
I think it's a decent amount more interesting. I just, even with DK back, man, and I know they found ways to score in that fourth quarter, but I just have a hard time envisioning against this defense.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Chargers, Pats, even though I don't think the Chargers are healthy enough to actually compete here. Then I'll go Texans, Pittsburgh, because that game just, can't you just wake up and smell that game at 12-10 in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, I might have to play under that one, 39.5.
I can't even believe they gave us 39. Like that's one, and then obviously Rams, Panthers last,
which will clearly be the best game of the weekend.
Can it be?
Are the Rams healthy?
So it appears Devontae's going to play,
which not surprising.
The question I have for them is offensive line. Because that's the other thing. Stafford has been getting absolutely wrecked. But I also was wondering this with the Rams, and I think we make this mistake far too often. There are certain positions you cannot lose guys in the NFL because they just don't have anything comparable behind it. But I just wonder if the Rams was that team that peaked like in November. And it's really hard to just, like, they played their best football in November.
I do have a note on health with the Rams. This is from Pelissero, like, 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
With their secondary, which has been a problem down the stretch. Safety Quentin Lake is getting activated off injured reserve. Their defense took a bit of a nosedive when he went down.
Yes. But what about offensive line? The tackles are the one.
I have not seen anything on their O-line.
And then what about San Francisco's health?
So I assume Trent's playing.
Is Pearsall playing?
I mean, didn't it feel like they kind of punted on week 18?
They played like absolute garbage. Offensively, the defense...
Defense was
pleasantly surprised.
Defense was frisky, but I also think Seattle knew, like, let us, boys, we can, like, the only way we can lose this game is if we score for them. I also wonder if they punted on week 18, because can we agree, those were some of the worst jerseys I've ever seen in a like, win the division, win the number one seed, all or nothing game. They've trotted those jerseys out. And then, like, my college roommate, who's a diehard Niners fan, I'm texting him, and he's like, nah, man, these jerseys slap. And I was like, he has terrible taste in fashion, so I was like, all right, I feel good.
I mean, can we get back to the...
They have amazing jerseys!
Oh, their early 90s, just, it's chef's
kiss. They have the perfect situation for alternates. They can wear their jerseys now, which are great, or they can wear their jerseys from the 90s, which are great. They come out with the black and the weird font. Like, it looked like it was like Orange County Choppers font. Like, I have no idea what was happening there.
Every time SVP sees Denver wearing their throwbacks,
oh, you gotta bet him.
He goes, you know, you could wear these every week.
I will never understand it.
And the same goes with San Francisco. What are we doing? Come on, man. Like, I get it. Well, like, it's not college. College, I get it.
I guess,
right?
So this would be my argument. The difference between San Francisco's 2025 version and the 1997 version of their home uniform is not as stark as the difference between what Denver wears for their home uniforms and their 80s. Like, that is the problem that I have.
I'm totally fine with their current iteration of their red and gold.
Right, but the other one's better.
The Steve Young, Joe Montana uniforms were just... tremendous.
Like, I think the Giants 80s uniforms are actually better than their home uniforms that they wear now. The difference is not stark enough to where when you see the Broncos wear the navy, like, you're just like, gross. And then you see them in the bright orange with the royal blue helmets, you're like, why did they ever get rid of this?
Don't know.
All right, back to the Warriors.
Yeah. We started on the Warriors? How the hell did we get here?
This is the beauty of the show. I think this is going to be fun because we're going to get to watch them end in real time.
By the way, we got a live tweet. Tell Jeffrey he's crazy. Those 49ers were sick! And every one of my friends I watched it said the same thing.
This is my Cali crew felt the same way. I was like, these are disgusting.
Speaking of the Niners and health, I have not seen any updates on any of their current players, but they added a player.
Who
they signed
add?
Kaiser White to help their linebackers because they have, like, me out there.
I this is the other thing. Is like, I believe in Saleh as a DC.
Supposedly, Arizona asked for him for an interview.
He is the ultimate, and I know the Jets are dysfunctional, but they actually had a decent roster with him. He is the ultimate example of defensive coordinator, not a head coach.
100% agree.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, I think he is a phenomenal defensive coordinator.
I mean, he's doing it with pretty much nobody.
Speaking of which, the Las Vegas Raiders. All right, have you seen the latest report?
No. What?
All right, so. I've been meaning to ask you this. I know you live in LA or live in Vegas, but you do a national sports show.
Yeah.
Of the local sports talk, do the Raiders dominate the conversation? Because what was amazing to me is every time I go out there, even during football season, what's amazing to me is you would have no idea.
It's not, from my gathering, it's not a Raiders town. Right, and I think I've told you this.
Don't they make most of their money by
selling their tickets?
Yeah, people sell their tickets and like, okay, it's a weekend, like we'll go see our team in Vegas, and like that's how everyone pays for their season tickets.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, when the Bears are here, it's crazy. I mean, the biggest times for the city are when the opponent is a big name opponent. Like, I was looking at tickets this weekend. I've never brought my son to a Raiders game because the tickets are expensive. And I was like, well. Chiefs fans aren't flying out here this weekend. So maybe we'll be able to get cheap tickets. And they did get low. I just ultimately didn't want to spend 4 hours at a Raiders
having watched
Chiefs game.
That game showed up on Red Zone, I think, once. I think it was to show the final score. Was it 9-6?
14-12.
Yeah, or whatever.
No touchdowns.
Yeah, it was, which is also amazing. How do you get to 14 with no touchdowns?
Now, they do have a Raiders
safety, I guess, 4 field goals and a safety.
Yeah, they had a safety in it. They do have a Raiders radio station. I go on it every week. I guess it's all Raiders talk there. I don't talk Raiders when I go on. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a – look, Vegas is just a weird town in general. We love the Golden Knights because when they came to town, it was the first pro team, and no one knew anything about hockey. So it was like, yeah, this is pretty cool.
Well, and there's also something about expansion. Like, you don't feel like you kind of stole anyone's team. Yeah, like, there's something. But the reason why I bring this up is, so they ESPN has done the, usually what the Athletic does. They have got the inside the Raiders lost season, Tom Brady's influence, private meetings, dysfunction. So they have that story going. But also, there are additional reports today that Tom Brady wants to give double birds to the NFL and hire Brian Flores as his head coach and bring Dable in as the offensive coordinator. Now, this kind of makes my brain feel at least a little bit better, although I don't know if I'm not certain that the former quarterback putting together a team is going to work. But I was
the guy who had the brilliant idea of bringing in Chip Kelly.
Yeah, I mean, I was actually, were you more surprised that Day didn't bring him back?
I think Chip Kelly wanted to leave.
No, I'm saying when Kelly gets fired, Hartline takes USF.
That, yeah, I would agree.
Instead,
yeah.
He takes Northwestern.
Mm-hmm. I agree. That did surprise me. I was like, huh, Northwestern, okay.
I had actually talked myself into the Giants, Flores, second time around. Because also, when you look at Flores versus McDaniel, the overall record's not that dissimilar. In fact, now, with the way that the Dolphins finished the season, it might be fairly similar. Culture guy, and then get the right OC around him. I talked myself into that, and then reports later leaked that that's Brady's plan for the Raiders. Also includes the detail is like Brady apparently was furious with the Raiders because he had locked in on Ben Johnson early and the Bears got him before the Raiders had even made an offer. And then included in the story is like anytime Brady has done a Bears game and he's had 5 this year, like all he does is just slobber all over Ben Johnson. And what a true like reclamation guy he is. We were trying to do this. You give me your power ranking.
Okay.
Power rank the open jobs because I think it's actually pretty hard. All right. So you ready? Here we go. Because I don't think anybody else has been fired. I think we had some coordinators fired today, but we've not had.
The in season firings were Giants and Titans.
Correct. Falcons.
Falcons, Cardinals,
Browns, and Raiders.
Do the Falcons not have a first-round pick?
I believe they traded it to
the Rams.
Yes.
Because I would have said Falcons because of the division.
And they still kind of have some pieces.
Bijan, Kyle Pitts looked like he was engaged.
Also, George, can you explain to me, Tim's favorite quarterback of all time is Kirk Cousins.
It's just all he does is win, baby. Get it.
Kirko Chains.
Don't hate the play, hate the game. He's going to be starting in the NFL next year.
Can someone explain to me the restructure? Because the restructure he did today.
Oh, he took a restructure today?
Yeah.
I missed this.
So he restructured today. It's almost like he's going to be back with the Falcons, but what they did was they basically split the difference of what they would owe him in the fourth year with the guaranteed money, lumped it on, and so they're going to cut him after next year. But I'm under the impression Kirk Cousins might be the Falcons starter next year.
Let me look at like spa right. track for this.
All right, because... so I'll read it for you.
Okay.
The Falcons have agreed to a restructured contract with Cousins that lowers his 26 salary from $35 million to $2.1 million. Hmm. The remaining $32.9 million has been added to $27 million, and all $67.9 million of the $27 salary is now set to become fully guaranteed on March 13th. The move is a clear sign that Atlanta plans to designate Cousins a post 6-1 release this March and will carry his $24 million cap hit in June, then take on the dead cap of $22.5 million in 26, 12.5 in 2027.
He's got to go back to the Vikings, right?
So he's gone.
So he's
getting cut right. in early March.
Right. Okay, so that the first story I read was not wherever you found that story, Tim. That thank you, whoever wrote that, because
the Spot Rack guy tweeted it.
Okay,
out.
that makes much more sense, because the way that the story I was reading initially, it was like making it seem like if he made it to March, he was going to be their starter next year. And I was like, that doesn't pass the smell test. But regardless, if you're KOC, don't you just have to say like, let's try this again? And then you have JJ in the wings. Although JJ had another perfect, like all he does is win game with the Packers playing Clayton Toon, who
already got cut today, by the way.
I don't even really remember Clayton being that good in college. He was kind of on my, I used to have a list, Tim, of guys that looked like a quarterback until the ball snapped. One of the all-time greats was Jeff Locke, the backup quarterback at Oregon. If you ever saw him in his uniform, you're like, that guy looks like a quarterback. And then you saw the ball snap, you're like, that guy does not look like a quarterback. Toon was kind of in that, like really looks the part, like kind of had like whiffs of Carson Palmer in the pocket. And then you're like, oh yeah, this guy's not actually good. I had no idea that he was still kicking around in the NFL. And I saw him starting on Sunday.
I'm just, God, Kirk Cousins is just playing chess every damn time. So it doesn't affect his guarantee. He's still going to get $67.9 million.
I think if I read it correctly, he's...
But it's just a way, because he wants to start, and it's a way for him to get cut.
If I read it correctly, he is giving up some guaranteed money, but it's getting converted into a lump sum.
That sounds right.
The Spot Rack thing said... All $67.9 million is now set to become fully guaranteed. Oh, so I don't know. I mean, it's just going to
be... The restructure also includes reducing his 26 base salary. We got that from the non-guaranteed $35 million to just $2.1 million, a difference of $32.9 million. That amount equals the increase in his 27 compensation that his amended deal includes, just split differently. No, you're 100% right. He's getting all of it.
Here's the other update.
He's the greatest businessman the league has ever seen.
He's my hero.
Here's the other update on this from like the same thread. Cousins' fully guaranteed $10 million roster bonus remains intact, and he will be owed that per his release. However, that bonus contains offset language, which means his future payment would be reduced by whatever he makes going somewhere else in 26.
So he's going to make $1 million or league minimum next year.
And get the rest of that money.
To be a starter and get the rest of that money.
That's how I read that, yeah.
By the way, McCarthy finished the year with a winning record at 6-4.
Didn't answer your question. Best job. I will say it's the Giants.
Is it?
And then I think it's the Falcons.
If the Titans had slightly better ownership, I'm still Cam Ward curious, man. That team stinks, and he was, like, functional.
But they don't have good ownership.
No, but they don't. All right, let's take a quick break. Let's talk about what we're looking at in the semifinals. We'll do that next right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Tim, and then there were four starting tomorrow night in Glendale, Arizona. The Miami Hurricanes against Ole Miss. Ole Miss, the sixth seed, wearing the home uniforms against Miami in the whites. Miami, currently, I'm seeing the consensus is 3.5, although your sportsbook, Circa, is showing Miami -3, but it's juiced to 120. Is that right?
Yep. I've seen a little bit of Miami love come back into the market today. It was mostly threes, now 3.5. But You got to pay the juice on Ole Miss if you want the 3.5, and you got to pay the juice on Miami if you want the 3. Totals kind of hanging at 51.5, 52. I bet one thing so far in this game, and
all right.
I took first half under. I know Ole Miss has the capabilities of making it a shootout. I think Miami's going to want to do what they did to Ohio State, which is just kind of, if they get the ball, bleed clock, 3 yards, cloud of dust type of stuff. I don't know if there's going to be a ton of explosiveness from Miami in the first half. Now, the second half, things could open up, certainly, but that's my initial feel. I think most people are anticipating over, and I think this is more of, if Miami wants to win this game, I think they dictate pace in this one. I lean the dog, but have not bet a side yet.
I think you're right. Here would be the only question I would have, though. Ole Miss is, let's see, I want to see defensive rush. Actually, Ole Miss has actually been pretty good against the run. They're second of playoff teams against the run in the playoff games. And that actually, like, Georgia had the one drive in the first half where they got under center and they really ran it at them. But, like, Georgia tried to run over Ole Miss and didn't really dominate them.
I know.
Now, I do think when Frazier got hurt, that changed things.
It definitely did. Yeah. No, I think that's a fair point. Now, could Malachi Toney go off and have a big game? Could he have a broken play? Yeah, it's certainly possible. I think Fletcher's running really well right now for Miami. I've kind of tied myself in the knots a little bit on this side. My initial feel was Ole Miss. Then I was like, maybe my – I don't think this – my gut tells me this is not going to be a high-scoring game.
The question will be for me, how much – so, like, Georgia did not sack Trinidad Chambliss. But that's also because Trinidad Chambliss is elite at avoiding sacks.
Yeah, he's a magician back there.
Is it possible where Bain has really wrecked games – but he can't maybe do it as much as Chambliss because Chambliss can be elusive?
To me, that's the biggest question of the whole game. It's Mezidor and Bain versus Chambliss. And, like, if Chambliss is going to make them chase him around and then things open up down the field. And before we get into that, is Lacy's shoulder 100%?
No. Okay. No, he lost his first fumble of his career because the guy put his helmet, right? I'm not saying it was a clean hit right on his shoulder and the ball popped out.
So that worries me too. But yeah, I'm on first half under, lean Ole Miss plus the points, but have not bet it. What do you make of this one?
I kind of think I'm either going to lay it or take Ole Miss to win. There's still kind of like a team of destiny thing going.
Yeah.
And Ole Miss is good enough to outscore them.
That's what I'm curious about with Miami.
Like, Ole Miss
Can Miami outscore Ole Miss?
I think they can, but it's basically going to have to be Fletcher runs for 200 yards.
Which is possible.
100%. But I...
What game are you more excited to watch?
I think this one, because I haven't seen it. And to your point about the whole neighbor Nick idea with Indiana and Oregon, like, my eyes tell me, why is this game going to be any different? Now, of the rematches that we've seen this year in the postseason, the only rematch that went the way that the first game went was Ole Miss and Tulane. And that's for obvious reasons. Ole Miss lost by 8 to Georgia. They beat them in the rematch. Oklahoma beats Alabama in the regular season. Alabama beats them in the postseason. I do kind of think gambling brain would say, give me the points, but my eyes just tell me, the same If you watched, you and I did, were you really that impressed with Oregon? They've had two playoff games that I was not. I was impressed with them on defense, but I also think that was Baron Morton.
So I think, thinking back to the Oregon-Texas Tech game, is Texas Tech's defense better than Indiana? I think they are. Not by a ton, but I think they're marginally better. I think they have more pros defensively.
Yeah, now, the secondary, I think that's probably fair, yeah.
I think the secondary for Indiana is better than Texas Tech's secondary. I think the secondary for Indiana is elite. I think it's really good. But will Dante Moore have time? More time than he had against Texas Tech? I think so. I'm not saying that Indiana's a bunch of jabronis. Look, first thing I bet of these two games, I immediately bet under Oregon-Indiana. I think this is a grinder. That's my vision. So I bet first full game under, 47.5 was the first bet I made. I took a little first half under two, and I haven't bet it yet, but I probably will be on Oregon. And we had Johnny Avello from DraftKings Sportsbook on VSiN last night. He said everybody's on Indiana right now.
Yeah, gambling brains tell me you should be on Oregon. Eye test tells me you should be on Indiana. All right, my man. Appreciate you as always.
All right, we'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week for 3 hours this time instead of a full two. Let's take a timeout. When we come back, we tell your story next right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story. This is a Producer George submission. This is Browns owner Jimmy Haslam today taking questions at a press conference. Some of you have said this is a dysfunctional building. I take huge exception to that. The two of them, his former coach and general manager, were just like this, holding his fingers together, thick as thieves. They talk all the time. Their offices were next door to each other. I mean, is there tension in the building? Of course. This is a hard business. There's lots of things going on. But the two of them worked well and worked together extremely well. If anybody says this is dysfunctional or the two of them did not work well, that's just dead wrong. I'd love to hear what those two have to say.
Got a weird feeling Stefanski and Barry, seeing as one is unemployed, has a little bit of a difference of opinion. But, you know.
Don't tell these story. Tell your story.
There you go.
And also, I've noticed how people that have dysfunctional organizations don't claim them.
I was going to say, that's right out of Woody Johnson's book.
Oh, yeah. You can hear that. Want to thank Tim Murray for being with us. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Tim, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.